From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. We'll talk a certain opening on the West Coast. We'll talk what happened during Lane Kiffin's press conference yesterday, look at some NFL stuff, and much more over the course of the next hour. And so with you here on the show, a show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon, Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember to go by and see the self-checkout up and operating at the Oxford Exxon. Blue Sky location there on Highway 6 West. Take care of your own groceries. Check out yourself and get on your way there with that Blue Sky location. You also can download the SpeedPass Plus app. You can earn points, save money, and you get the lunch special here locally for $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, and more. And again, we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are. I was just texting our buddy Corey Clark. Corey Clark, Clark Ford, 662-257-1900. It's in Amory, Mississippi. Call that number. Ask for Corey. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes of business hours, right to the bottom line. No hassle, no haggle. You get your quote, and the rest is up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. Let's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest will join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Be a great place this week. Hang out, watch a weekend of football. Ole Miss doesn't kick until 7 o'clock. Maybe you're doing the Grove. Maybe you're not doing the Grove. Whatever the case may be. Stop by Rafters. Get a burger, po' boy, great appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, the whole deal. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
I keep forgetting we have a 7 o'clock kick. Like, yeah. I keep knowing it's a night game, but the 7 is I need a 2:30 against Alabama. I need the 2:30. I don't need the 6:30, the 8:15.
What else is that day?
I don't know. I mean, it's the best game of the day. So CBS, do us a favor here. Like, I know you can only have Alabama like 6 times a year, but let's use one right here. It feels important.
It feels like they will, but I'm looking
because they don't have Alabama and Florida this week, so that helps.
So they've got.
What we got?
So October 2nd, is that right?
That is correct.
All right, so got Ole Miss, Alabama.
Okay.
Got Georgia hosting Arkansas. You got Florida, Kentucky. Kentucky could be unbeaten.
And it's actually a pretty good football day.
You got LSU, Auburn in Baton Rouge. You got Mississippi State, Texas A&M. What if Mississippi State beats LSU? They'd be unbeaten.
That's all on one day?
All one day. Yeah, so see, the best game is Ole Miss, Alabama. But you're CBS, and you can only take Alabama a certain number of times.
I think it's 6, but I don't know that.
And you're taking Alabama the next week in College Station. You're going to take them against LSU because you always do. You're going to take them against Auburn because you always do. You typically take them. Well, they won't take them for Tennessee because I think they'll take LSU Ole Miss for that day.
Okay.
I know we're getting way ahead. I think it will be the CBS game, but maybe not.
Yeah.
And here's the deal on LSU, on Alabama.
Yeah, State Kentucky feels like an 11 o'clock ESPN kick right out of game day. It's a good palate cleanser for your day.
Yeah, I don't know what the rest of the national slate is that day.
Yeah. But the SEC has that time slot right out of game day at 11. That makes sense to me.
So we'll see.
Yeah. Might be a rough, just a run of night games for a while.
Yay.
Pumped. So excited. Awesome. 11 o'clock feels like a far cry from we had a string of them. We had a lot of them. Plenty of topics today. I will say, I get some credit here. While we're discussing TV and ESPN, I never would have watched Ravens Raiders last night. I probably wouldn't have turned it on. I probably wouldn't even known who won when I went to bed. The Eli Payton thing last night was really, really well done. It was exceptional.
It was, and Russell Wilson.
It started slow because they were using a few too many props. They couldn't figure. And look, they're doing this on the fly. It's the first one. I'm not criticizing even in a little bit.
Yeah.
But they didn't really know what camera to have, primary and secondary. And they were trying to figure out, okay, is the game the star? Are the people the stars? What are we doing here?
Sure.
And then sometime around late second quarter, the producers really got into it, figured out what worked best. And when they allowed it to just slow down and be conversations with the game in the big screen, it was incredibly compelling television from a sports programming standpoint, to the point that, I mean, if that's an option, I'll watch it, and I really don't give a damn who's playing, and I'm pretty locked in. I mean, I sat there and watched the rest of the game. I mean,
me too.
And there was such a good mix of guests, and we'll see how that continues as the year moves on.
Well, they can get anyone.
Well, right, that's what I mean. But my point being, you had, you know, Russell Wilson, fantastic. I mean, it was like, hey, you know, last couple minutes of the game, quarterback, what are we thinking, what are we doing here, all this kind of stuff. Ray Lewis was phenomenal, given a defensive perspective earlier in the game, running through, well, as a linebacker, here's what I'm seeing, here's what I'm doing, all these different things. I thought Kelce was the weakest, but it was fine.
I didn't even get until, because Carson had soccer in Tupelo, so he and I got back at like 9:15, 9:20.
Mm-hmm.
And so by then, the game was in the third quarter, because I listened to some of the game on Westwood One driving back.
Yeah.
By the way, Kevin Harlan is fantastic on radio.
He is good. Yeah.
He's just great.
Yeah.
So I turned that on, and I'm like, I'm like you, on a normal Monday night.
Wouldn't have.
On a day when, you know.
It's a close game, so I like the last 3 minutes of a close game, but that's about it.
But I don't usually make it that long because Monday's a long day.
Yeah.
And you throw in driving to Tupelo, and I ran while Carson was, you know, so I was nasty, and I needed to take a shower and all that stuff. And I turned on the game, and that was fantastic. Russell Wilson was great. What I loved about Wilson is that you could tell, here's Russell Wilson, Super Bowl champion, dates are married to a supermodel.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson has a good gig, and he still has an awe thing for Peyton and Eli. Like, those are guys.
He was the kid in the room.
He looked up to them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey, can you stay? Oh, I'm staying. I mean, I got stuff to do, but
yeah,
you want me to stay? I'm staying. I thought that was cool. And a few times, like, you'd hear them say, oh, that's cover zero. They would know it right away.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of fun. I mean, you saw all their different personalities. Because Eli and Peyton have two totally kind of different, you know, they tick at a different calibration. But Wilson, I loved the Russell Wilson part of it.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I think it would be worth it to you to go back and just find the Ray Lewis part. Because I thought Ray was incredibly good yesterday. I thought they were great. And I think not only do they have great chemistry, duh, their brothers have been ranching their whole lives.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the different personalities. Peyton brought Eli out enough.
Yeah.
To let them both be maybe not equals, but very similar and play their own roles effectively as it was going on. Whereas if Eli's out there with somebody more similar to him, it gets a little quiet. They needed Peyton to sort of bring the energy to pull him into the conversation a little bit. But yeah, I mean, just the, and it's a duh thing. We know this, but the football acumen of just seeing the play as it develops, before it develops, you go, okay, well, here's what they're actually doing. Because, I mean, that's what makes this good television for anybody that has any interest in football schematics is we all don't know football. So when you're able to show the game in front of us and go, well, this is why they did that and what they were actually trying to do. Well, now I'm plugged in. Okay,
yeah,
well, cool. Okay, that makes sense.
Peyton starts rolling the tape back and showing you what they did and stuff. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that. And, you know, it's...
That's why
you and I have had this conversation.
Yeah.
I make fun just so people in the stream might not
know. It actually plays into it because of the Pro Football Focus thing. So we're good for a little while.
We're going there.
Yeah.
Because that was the highlight of yesterday.
Yeah.
I have routinely been asked throughout my journalism career by people who I worked for and then subsequently by message board people, hey, why don't you do more X and O stuff? And I say, my answer has always been because I don't ever want to put on a T-shirt that says, yes, I'm an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Know your strengths. You give me four quotes in 10 minutes, and I can put 500 words together.
Sure.
And make it grammatically sound and fairly entertaining. That's my strength. Now, ask me to break down a defense? No. No.
The most eye-opening part, and we'll transition a couple minutes to what you're talking about, is that even multiple times last night, especially at the end, not necessarily harping on the Ray Lewis part, but it was interesting to me because you had an offensive conversation and defensive conversation versus them all just talking about one side of the field.
Yeah, where because by the end, they're all cheering for the quarterbacks.
Right, yeah. So at one point, Peyton's going, hey, Ray, what'd you see here? And then Ray's going, well, here's what they were trying to do. And they were playing off one another because even Peyton and Eli wasn't quite sure what the defense plan was, so they couldn't figure out what the offense's goal was in the play because they weren't in the huddle, obviously, and seeing those things.
Sure.
So that was what was eye-opening to me, was even those cats, dudes with lots of Super Bowls and all kind of stuff and Hall of Famers and whatever, they could not have graded that play effectively for all 22 positions because they didn't know what the actual goal was for all 22 positions.
So when the
if those dudes can't do it.
When the guy from the Herald Leader Inquirer Star does the, here's what happened on 3rd and 7.
Maybe.
Tell him to go screw himself because he has no idea what the hell he's talking about.
We don't know what that dude's goal was in that play most of the time.
And most of them are not a good enough writer to put that into layman's terms and make it work.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know. I found it all compelling. I mean, I even found, again, were the props necessary early? No. They got too busy. It was really, really busy early on.
I bet next week's phenomenal.
So, early on, because, like, even, I mean, as dumb as this sounds, I was intrigued by, and there's clips on social media for anybody who just wants to see it, but even they were discussing what goes on in the headsets, and Peyton and Eli kind of role-played. Peyton was playing Gruden, and they ran through a play, and he's like, all right, here's how this sounds like. And it's like, you know, the big, long play, and it's like, all right, here we go, blah, blah, blah. But he tells him in the middle of it, we're running the freeze play. Well, when Eli's playing the quarterback, and he goes, okay, he's in the huddle, and he's telling you what he would say in the huddle, and he says, freeze play, freeze play. And what he means is when he gets to the line of scrimmage, he's going to go through a cadence that means nothing, and then he's going to stop. He's still listening to his coach because you have it until a certain point of the play clock, and then Peyton comes back in playing Gruden, and he goes, all right, freeze, freeze, they're in this, 58 freedom, 58 freedom, changes the play at the line of scrimmage through the headset. Then he actually gets into the play, audibles, and gives the real cadence and snaps the ball. And it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And that's why when the NFL
it's like, okay, yeah.
The NFL needs to know that quarterbacks are let they love football.
Yeah. It was like, oh, okay. That's not what I was anticipating there. Okay.
You start to see why some guys, Jeff George, Jamarcus Russell, you start to see why some guys just never made it in the NFL, despite having cannons on their right arms.
And see why Ryan Fitzpatrick can't get fired.
Yeah. Because when someone says, you know, we ought to move off of him, the coach goes, no, no, no. No, I get itchy thinking about it. You know, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know. It was good TV. I know they're not doing it every single week, but the ones that they are, it's.
Oh, they are doing next week, though, right?
I think they're doing next week, but it's like maybe it's 10 or 12. But
oh, I mean.
I wouldn't be shocked to see a larger order because I think it went quite well last night.
I went from I'm probably not going to watch Monday Night Football to I won't miss Monday Night Football.
I never even considered turning the normal telecast on.
Oh, no.
Like,
no.
Never even thought about it.
No.
With all due respect to whoever the hell is doing it this year, yeah, I had no.
Those poor saps lost last night. Those cats are like, hey, we might as well be doing the SEC Network alternate channel / ESPN Plus streaming game. They're going to get the same numbers that Tennessee Tech Tennessee will get this weekend.
Yeah, so I'm,
I mean, their families will watch. That's it.
Yeah, you get Todd Blackledge or Elon Payton.
Okay, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Glad ESPN could watch our show, figure out what Pete was doing for us in the second quarter, and emulate it. I mean, really, it's just people helping people
around.
That's
what
we
do.
That's the goal.
And for the people that asked, no, we cannot replicate that. We can't
stream the game.
we would get into a wee bit of trouble.
Yeah, we don't have the rights for that.
ESPN has all the rights.
Yeah, to everything, pretty much.
Yeah,
it's they own sports. So what we were referencing a second ago was Pro Football Focus, who We appreciate their partners for us. They do lots of things that I include in my content every week from a lining up alignment standpoint is what I really use them for, focusing on. Even to the point of, I was talking about Matt Corral and Michael Pratt today in my 3-2-1 about how long they hold on to the football, how much time they have in the pocket, those things that are the things that are completely measurable. Yes. They do a phenomenal job with. They give you as much info as you can possibly come up with, and we use as much of that as we can. So there's tons of that in my content today. But it's why I was really hesitant last week, because frankly the grades didn't look right to my eye, where I thought it was going to be a bigger problem than it was an asset to us if we put them out there. And Pro Football Focus had Ole Miss one of the top five offensive lines of the week or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Which also was a little weird, because when I went into the system this morning, the individual grades did not – I mean, they were good, but they didn't necessarily line up to that. It kind of surprised me that they had that type of grade as a group. So – he was asked the question yesterday about the Pro Football Focus grading thing. And his quote was, Pro Football Focus, don't know a lot about watching film, so no disrespect, but we didn't play really well up front. I think the numbers look good, but tell Pro Football Focus to realize we're running against a five-man box most of the time, that they're staying deep because there are three receivers, so you're supposed to be able to run into that. We got beat in pass protection and one-on-one matchups. Quarterback had to get rid of the ball early, so I was not pleased with how they played up front, but what do I know?
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin. Completely joking or a little annoyed? Be honest for sure, but beyond the honesty.
No, he was in message-sending mode yesterday. I wrote about this and what he said, he meant. Lane Kiffin was sending messages yesterday. You know, we hadn't talked about this much. They've played two games in 7 days, 6 days, 5 days, whatever the hell. I lose track of time. When they're up to number 17 in the national polls, people are talking about them in these really lofty ways. And this was his way yesterday of saying, hey, guys, you haven't done jack. You hadn't beaten anybody. I can't say it out loud, but Louisville's not very good and Austin Peay sucks.
Yeah,
you hadn't done anything. And quite frankly, we played kind of sloppy. And we got a good team coming in, and it's about to get going, and we got to play better. You need to quit, for lack of a better word, resting on your laurels, and let's get to work.
Yeah.
It's a very similar message that Nick Saban had to send in Tuscaloosa. You see so much of Saban's influence on Kiffin in a press conference now.
Mm-hmm.
Lane Kiffin studied Nick Saban those 3 years. It's the funny part about whether they get along or not. I don't know. I hear different things. The one thing that's not debatable based on, and again, I've never talked to Lane Kiffin at all about anything ever. I'm local media and he has no purpose for us. But it's pretty obvious when you pay attention to how he handles press conferences and that kind of thing, that he has spent a lot of time studying Nick Saban. When he was there, there was a lot of osmosis.
It's what I find, too. It's like, hey, do they like each other? Do they not like each other? You know, human relationships in general are pretty complicated. There are other answers other than, hey, they have dinner every Sunday night, or they wouldn't pee on each other if they were burning. Like, there's a lot of middle ground here where they might be buddies, they might not, but it's just funny how everybody wants to put you in a box of 0 or 10.
And you know
Tell
you what I hear. I hear that personally they don't really care for one another that much, but that professionally there is a ton of respect.
Yeah.
A ton of respect.
They both say lots of nice things.
Well, I think they mean it. I mean, I think Lane Kiffin believes that he became a much better coach by spending 3 years with the tyrant in Tuscaloosa.
And Saban credits Kiffin for changing their offense.
Because he did.
Yeah.
Saban has openly admitted, to his credit, that he brought Lane Kiffin in and said, here's why you're here.
Fix it.
You're smart. We're getting beat by this. Auburn was getting them.
Ole Miss
was getting them with that RPO thing.
Yeah.
And Saban says, I don't like the rule with the linemen can block downfield and stuff, but if that's going to be the rule, let's go. And he brought him in and said, run it. And what's interesting, and where Kiffin does not get nearly enough credit, was he'd never run it before.
He learned it.
He ran a pro-style offense. He ran the Pete Carroll offense.
Mm-hmm.
But people are obsessed, and it's coming in 2 weeks. Oh, what's your relationship? What difference does it make? How many people can you even have a relationship with?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not called and reviewing notes every Monday morning, but it's going to be all right.
I mean, how many close personal friends can you really have?
Well, I mean, we had Gus and Freeze who were tight. So,
I mean,
6 a.m. phone calls every morning.
No, they're different people. They come from different generations. They're completely different backgrounds. I mean, but they both really like football.
Mm-hmm.
They both come from a football background.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's dad was a famous defensive coordinator in the NFL. And Nick Saban's dad was a Pop Warner legend mm-hmm. in West Virginia. I mean, they both grew up around football.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot there. But, I mean, people get hung up on the personal part of it. And to me, who cares?
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis, so you can local underwriting and understand your market. A leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Walk-On Sports Bistro puts everything they've got into bringing you game day with a taste of Louisiana. Dig into their mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine like po' boys, gumbo, and voodoo shrimp, plus fan favorites like juicy burgers and fresh salads, quality fresh ingredients you can't help but crave. Coming soon, Walk-On Sports Bistro, more than a restaurant, 1737B University Avenue in Oxford. Muddy Water Camo, go there. Go to muddywateroutdoors.com, enter the promo code REBELGROVE, get 35% off any products from the site. If you order more than $100, it's free shipping. Several new products on the site now, and plus their Muddy Water Lady Camo apparel is available as well. Again, muddywateroutdoors.com, promo code REBELGROVE. While you're entering the promo code REBELGROVE, head over to DeadSoxy, DeadSoxy.com. Check out their college collection. They're Ole Miss socks. 25% off your entire order at Dead Soxy. Don't forget about the clearance section as well, where you can add 25% off to the already slashed prices. If you've never tried Dead Soxy, you should. They're the best thing you'll ever put on your feet. And you can also, while we're talking about the Grove and getting ready for it and that kind of thing, people will be in the Grove this weekend, Ole Miss and Tulane. You want 7 South Tailgating to hook you up. They offer single game packages. They still have availability for all 6 remaining home games. They provide the equipment, secure the spot, set everything up for you. Unloading assistance, food, beverage delivery on game day. They've got single game packages. They also have season packages. Whatever the case may be, get in touch with them. Find out more. 7SouthTailgating.com, 662-321-1682. And the Grove, probably, I'm guessing, will have some alcoholic beverages in the running around this weekend when Tulane comes to town. So you want to get in touch with Game Changer Patch Company, help you prepare. Game Changer patches are the only 2-patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink. The overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game and ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 25% off your order.
Podcast also brought to you by Visit Oxford. Tunes Around Town back this weekend, Friday, September 17th. 4 different locations for that. At the Growler, it's Jonna Mosley's duo. Pocket Park has Davis Cohen. Spring Street, Tony Boyd, and Southern Table Blues Doctors. Bus tours also 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock on Friday. You can make reservations there. An adult ticket gets you $100 off a pair of Blue Delta jeans as well. So to find all the events coming on this week and every week, visit oxfordms.com/events. So, yep, Clay Helton out at USC. Southern Cal has had 3 straight coaches fired midseason, Lane Kiffin, Steve Sarkisian, and now Clay Helton.
At some point, it's a you problem.
It is very much a you problem, yes, because, I mean, both dudes have left been brilliant play callers and have high profile jobs. At some point, hey, look inside yourself that maybe it was not the coaches you're firing's fault at different points. It's now, obviously, at the time, Sarkisian had some stuff going on.
But
I'm not shocked Clay Helton was fired yesterday at all. I mean, they got popped by Stanford. SC can't. It's not they can't figure out what they are, but they've got a lot of infighting. They've got a West Coast version of kind of a Texas situation from boards and famous alumni and all the cooks in the broth and all this different stuff going on that they can't get in a clear direction. They can't decide to seemingly just hire the best coach. They keep looking for different things. And frankly, they still think it's 2005 a little bit. There's a little bit of SC of not adapting to 2021, adapting to the times a little bit. I mean, they're certainly behind Oregon in the Pac-12 right now
from a
program standpoint.
Sure.
Now, maybe that's it, but they are behind Oregon for sure. I don't know what direction they go, but I feel like they can continue swimming in place until somebody actually takes charge, and there's no one out there in that administration around that program to take charge.
Here's my thing about the firing of Clay Helton.
If
you're going to fire a coach after two games,
you should have fired him in the offseason. There's nothing in two games that makes it fire-worthy at all.
You'd already made up your mind to fire.
Yeah.
So just do it.
So why didn't they?
I don't know.
I mean, I know I'm not tuned into that program.
Dysfunction? So now the job's open. Sure. It's going to be talked about for 10 weeks. If you read someone that says the job is X's to turn down.
Because that's already happened last night.
I would disregard that.
Was it a 24/7 reporter? They wrote it, but no offense, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Some reporter last night was reporting that it was Luke Fickell's job to turn down.
Yeah. I don't believe that to be true. Now,
if so, then everybody knew Luke Fickell was taking the job 2 weeks ago and they were waiting on a time to fire Clay Helton because it doesn't happen in 3 hours.
No.
That's impossible.
You could have hired Luke Fickell in January.
Yes, and he would have taken your job.
Of course. The AD at USC was the former AD at Cincinnati, and he hired Luke Fickell, and I think
so people, we're just doing some.
Look, there are some other names that I would keep an eye on. James Franklin. Makes a ton of sense. It's been out there for a while that Franklin and Penn State aren't exactly tight. I've seen people mention Dan Mullen.
Saw that yesterday.
There are some rumblings that Mullen and Florida aren't exactly on the greatest of terms, that Mullen doesn't feel like Florida's commitment is as high as it needs to be to compete with Georgia right now.
Sorry, it was Dennis Dodd who reported
okay.
the pickle.
Same difference.
Okay.
If you're USC, the one thing that comes out of doing this is it lets you start doing a lot of research on a lot of people.
And openly, yeah. You're not doing the under-the-table
yeah.
stuff.
And I think that's what you will see happen. I don't buy that they're locked in on anybody. People mention Lane Kiffin. I know that Keyshawn Johnson mentioned Lane Kiffin yesterday. I mean,
it's kind of like LSU. It's really easy content. It's funny. It's the whole...
You get clicks.
Yeah.
People talk about it. But they fired him on the tarmac. And some of the same people who were there
are
still there. So that's... Is Lane Kiffin... Would Lane Kiffin love to go back to California and be closer to his kids? I presume so. Again, let me be upfront here. When you hear people go, I'm close personal friends with Lane Kiffin. No, they're not.
Yeah. They're like three of those.
Yeah. And I don't have that relationship. Don't anticipate ever having that relationship. I don't know what Lane Kiffin wants to do in terms of being closer to his children. I have no idea. I don't know whether the way he does his parenting now is sufficient for him. I have no clue. The world has changed. I haven't seen my daughter in person in, 5-6 weeks? Yet I see her all the time because we FaceTime. So it's a different world today. I mean, he FaceTimed his son halftime of a football game the other night in Oxford. Is that sufficient? I don't know. You'd have to ask him, and I don't know him well enough to ask that question.
Sure.
But it doesn't pass the initial smell test that mm-hmm. Lane Kiffin and USC would renew acquaintances at this point. Frankly, the name that when I heard it, I went, oh, that makes a ton of sense. is James Franklin. It's California. He can recruit everywhere.
It's a good football coach.
He's a really good football coach, and it just doesn't feel like Penn State's going to get back to that place again.
It makes sense. He's so icky that I just – but I know.
It's college football coaches. Icky is like pretty much par for the course.
Yeah, Sammy keeps saying David Shaw. I just think Shaw's star has fallen too much. I think that would have been different 3 years ago.
I mean, it's possible. You know, it depends on what they're looking for. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think they're looking for straight arrow, but at the same time.
But my point is this. When you hear people go, oh, they're done.
Yeah.
That makes no sense. They have weeks.
They have free reign now to just go.
Yeah, to explore. And you can get burned. I read Dellinger's story, by the way, about the hiring of Dan Mullen at Florida. It was brilliant. One of the things that you learn from it is that, you know, the flavor of the month at that point was Scott Frost.
Mm-hmm.
And Florida went and interviewed him and said, hey, he's not ready. And you see that now. He wasn't ready.
Ready.
And so the question with Fickell would be, is he ready? I'll throw another name at you. Would Ryan Day leave USC for... I mean, leave Ohio State for USC.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't know what the positive of that would be.
Living in California?
I mean, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. No, hell no.
You know, because that's the job that Luke Fickell craves is Ohio State or Notre Dame.
That's a worse job. SC is a far worse job than Ohio
State. You know, would Fickell leave Cincinnati? Of course. I mean, I would think you'd leave Cincinnati for USC. I don't know how you could justify in your mind staying.
And Ryan Day's from New Hampshire.
Yeah.
I mean, he's
so
good.
I don't know. I mean, the point is, I just think it's way too early for people to get into this. Here's who the top two candidates are. Here's the great news for a lot of guys is they just got leverage.
Oh, well, 100%.
I mean, if you're Jimmy Sexton.
Jimmy had a good day.
If you're Russ Campbell. Yesterday was a great day because your top guys have leverage. Hey, USC called. Shit.
Here's an extra 300.
Here's grand. Another million.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so who knows? But them going and getting Lane Kiffin is about as, from a, just common sense, is about like, say, hey, we're going to go back and get Sarkisian.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, that it just doesn't.
You fired him on the tarmac within the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
If so, you are operating from a pool so small that you have no free thinker in the room whatsoever. I mean, that's what I take from that. I mean, come on.
I mean, I guess it's conceivable.
Well, look, anything's possible. It's college football. It's a dumb sport. Sure.
And so at some point, someone will ask Lane Kiffin about it, and he will give a generic answer, which is the smart thing to do because why would he hand his leverage away?
Oh, you just shut up and coach and let the rumor mill run.
You say, hey, I'm coaching at Ole Miss right now. Yeah. That's the answer. People go, oh, God, he said right now. Yeah, he's got leverage. Why would he give the – why in the world would he give leverage away? I mean, frankly, if I'm an Ole Miss fan, the job or two that I don't want to come open, I wouldn't want the Florida job to come open right now.
Yeah.
If I'm an Ole Miss fan, that would scare me a lot more than USC. Frankly, a lot more than LSU, even though LSU's a great job. I mean, the last three coaches who've coached at LSU won the national championship.
Maybe I'm being a little hyperbolic because we're in the middle of it and we're seeing the fan base we cover talk and all that kind of thing. Why? And I know the answer is just the nomad nature, the reputation for wanderlust, all that kind of stuff. But you don't necessarily hear every coach that's winning suddenly pop up everywhere. Is it because Lane is so popular with clicks as much as anything? What makes him be the one who goes, oh, my God, this job is open, so let's hammer this for 6 weeks? Like
no one loves Twitter, literally, more than media loves Twitter.
Yeah.
And you write the words Lane Kiffin, and you get tons of engagement.
Yeah.
It's the most baffling thing in the world. But you do. And so if you put up a list and you put Lane Kiffin's picture on it,
yeah,
well, you're going to get more clicks than if you put
Mario Cristobal's picture on it.
Exactly. where people go, I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah. Yeah. Lane's like the high rent version of Dan Mullen when it comes to clicks and pictures and
yeah.
things.
I mean, you know, so if you're paid by the click, and there are media entities that are, it makes sense that you'd list Kiffin. Especially now, it's kind of a free shot. From a media standpoint, you know this. We've done coaching searches where the job opened up in October. The first couple of weeks are like, hey, let's play. Let's have some fun.
Dana Holgorsen was on the front of RebelGrove.com one day.
Yeah, let you play.
We heard something.
And you can, because we did. We heard yeah. something. And let you play with it. And let you kind of freely go, hey, it's too early to really dive into this. So here are the rumors. And you've got enough percentage of your audience that goes, yeah, just give me rumors.
Oh, well, sure. Because it's fun.
It's okay, September sure. the 14th. They're not doing anything for 2.5 months.
No, they're just chilling.
I will tell Ole Miss people this. If every coaching rumor involving Kiffin drives you crazy, this is going to be a really long fall. I mean, you're going to have a really long fall. And the people that are like, well, just don't ever talk about it. Well, how do we do that?
Yeah, I mean.
Let's get real. His name's going to pop up at a lot of places. Frankly, at any big job that opens up, his name's going to come up. If it's realistic or not, I don't know.
Just don't talk about it.
But the whole, can we just not talk about it? No, of course not. We can't just not talk about it. But I don't initially, on September the 14th, put a whole lot of, it's hard for me to put a whole lot of credibility into, yeah, Lane Kiffin to USC makes a ton of sense. Because on the surface, you're like, it really doesn't. Unless they like formally apologize to him. I mean, that would be.
I'm not sure SC's a better job.
Well, that's the other part.
At the moment.
Well, here's
now, the ceiling is really high. It's so freaking high. But
where do they fall once all of the pieces have been redistributed on the chessboard?
Yeah.
Are they still in the Pac-12? Is the Pac-12 weak? Is the Pac-12 what it is today? Do they move to another league? Are they part
of
the
Oregon go to the Big Ten? I mean, hell, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean.
Are they part of the Big Ten? Are they part of a big SEC thing? I mean, what are they?
No, there's a certain value in knowing where the hell the home's going to be for a while. I mean, yeah, Chris Peterson's time in the sun has passed.
Sure.
Oh, Fickell would jump to Penn State in a heartbeat. Would crawl to Penn State.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, just.
And so if Penn State's feelings about Franklin are somewhat reciprocated, again, Franklin makes a ton of sense. Franklin makes so much sense that if you told me that I had to put my money on someone today.
Sure.
I think without hesitation I would put it on Franklin.
Philip, I mean, the retention bonus is there for Kiffin, but I'll be honest. The date on that makes no sense to me, and this is not feeding into a conspiracy theory at all. I just don't really understand why that's the date, because Kiffin gets like $500,000 if he's the coach on January 1st. That date is too early to have any impact on anything, because in theory, you could coach the Citrus Bowl that morning, make $500K, and then take a job 2 days later.
Is that what you're reporting?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. But I just... Contractually, I would like for that, if I'm Keith Carter and Ole Miss, that date needs to be February 1st, not January 1st.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
I don't.
There might be a reason that Lane didn't want to sign that.
Well, fair enough, but then you don't get a retention bonus.
Yeah,
like,
because you'd want February 1st, because that would prevent the NFL jump, too.
That's true.
Now, the other thing that I hate, and I'm going to get ahead of it now on the skipping things so that we don't have to do this forever, is he bought a house.
Oh, he did.
So? Have you ever been to any town anywhere, but they don't make houses? Because I've been to a lot of places, and every place has houses.
That was an underlying. It was kind of an it was a local thing.
Yes.
People that don't live here wouldn't understand this at all. And they'll go, no. I was like, there was a lot of paranoia when he was renting for a while. Yeah. That was a bothersome topic for a lot of people.
Because here's a little inside real estate. Lane Kiffin wanted to live on the water, and in Oxford, that's really hard.
There's no water. I mean, I mean, he could buy Hugh's house out on the lake at the Highlands, but yeah. Like otherwise, I don't know what.
Not catching any tarpon in that water.
No,
and I wouldn't think.
And I don't think Lane's a bass fisherman, so he was having a hard time. Like it was. You know, Sardis is a pretty good commute back to the facility. I don't know, but yeah. So Lane took a little bit before he purchased some real estate.
Thanks to Kyle Wilson for the super chat. He says, "Who's the hardest coach to play for in the SEC?" Probably Saban.
Because of what's expected day in, day out.
Yeah.
The robot nature of it.
Yeah.
Volatility Orgeron, I think, would drive me crazy as my head coach.
Yeah. That'd be a lot.
You never know what you're getting day in, day out.
Boy, that deal. That deal is just...
You're rooting for Mike Leach next week, aren't you?
I don't know how long he could survive.
That's what I'm saying.
If he loses to State.
Yeah. You're rooting for Mike Leach next week.
I think there's a real chance next week that the shape of the league takes a real different look. I think Texas A&M will beat Arkansas, and I think LSU will beat Mississippi State. But if the football gods came down right this moment and told you, no, Arkansas wins in Arlington and Mississippi State beats LSU in Starkville, are you floored? Do you look at the football gods and go, oh, are you guys on opioids? I don't think you do. I think you go, oh, how about that? And if that happens the next morning, the shape of the league has completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Texas A&M thing will be, well, that's a fraud. And the LSU thing will be a smoldering pile of rubble. Because if LSU loses to Mississippi State.
No, that whole run there.
It's Auburn, Kentucky, Florida, Ole Miss, Alabama, Arkansas.
Good God.
That's the next run.
It's over. He doesn't, I don't know that he coaches in Oxford at that point.
Oh, I mean, listen, if he loses to Mississippi State, I don't know that he coaches the next week at home.
Oh, well, he's not getting fired there.
I don't know.
No, it would take a few, but.
Well, they have a built-in easy solution.
Because of all the stuff.
They can go bring Stevensminger out of retirement.
To finish the year.
To finish the season. Nobody would ever say, hey, you should make Stevensminger.
No, he's their own little John L. Smith.
And everybody likes him as a human being.
Yeah.
And that would cool the temperature and let them just
figure it out.
Let the media turn to the coaching search and away from just how bad it is.
Sure. It's possible.
Fascinating game.
Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. Service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps, or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio, your hometown team, bringing you world-class broadband, nespark.com, 662-238-3159, phone service, portal controls, network security, wireless mesh extender, and more. Call the office for details and get the best internet around. Again, that's nespark.com.
Grimes right. He says A&M media carrying water like desert camels.
Yes.
It's just what they do. They love them. They love them. You read their stuff. You ever noticed?
It was just a blip on the radar, okay, guys?
Texas A&M media, the end to every article has like an uplifting note.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They have to close in a good place?
Yeah. I will go read it to find it, and I'll entertain myself by reading the last line of content. Hey, but the play was great. It really was.
The title performance.
I mean, up until we got to Elm, it was a great parade. Automation Control Systems, LLC, is owned by Clay McNutt in Baldwin, Mississippi. It's established in 2013. They're a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. They've got a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. They can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical control panel solutions, and much, much more. ACSLLCMS.com or call 662-601-4381. Pinpoint Commercial Real Estate is based out of Jackson, Mississippi. They service the entire state in all commercial asset classes, such as retail, office, industrial, and land. Sam Cox and B.B. Mitchell are Ole Miss graduates and utilize their unique skill sets to execute on assignment and increase value for their clients. One such client is the Village at Madison. They feature roughly 60,000 square feet of restaurants, retail, and professional office space, along with 75 zero-lot line residences, with Pinpoint handling the leasing for the commercial portion of the development. If you want to learn more about this great opportunity or other opportunities like it, call Sam and BB 601-586-3220. Blue Delta Jeans makes the best fitting, most comfortable jeans in the world because they are uniquely made for you and only you. Raw denim jeans, custom fit, hand-tailored in Tupelo, Mississippi. One size fits one at BlueDeltaJeans.com. Go to that site, go to the virtual tailor, and you can be measured and design your newest jeans in just a couple of minutes. Make it even better. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE at checkout. Get 10% off your purchase. You can also use that promo code in the Oxford Studio. It's a great time of year to get a pair of Blue Delta's cotton genos in the works, so don't miss out. Also brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry in Oxford. Lamons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford has been serving the Oxford area for 73 years. From engagement rings to wedding rings to fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more, Lamons is the gold standard in fine jewelry. So visit them at LamonsFineJewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777. And we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel shop. Two locations in the Jackson area. In Ridgeland, it's next to Fleet Feet. In Flowood, it's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, it's okay. Go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day with the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're getting to that weird time of the year when it's still really hot, yet you know the cooler weather is coming. You want to make sure that your heating system, your cooling system is all in tip-top shape. Get in touch with the people at Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. If you live in the Oxford, Tupelo surrounding area, it's Comer. If you live in DeSoto, Hernando, that kind of area, Memphis, get in touch with Southern. 662-801-1777. They'll get you to the right place and make sure that your heating system and cooling system is running in tip-top shape.
Podcast also brought to you by Nick's Tan & Associates, nickstanoxford.com for all your real estate needs. The buy side, the sell side, I have used them multiple times. They sponsor my 3-2-1 football content item. It's up this morning as we look at a lot of different things, including Jerry and Ely's use, Matt Corral's success in the middle of the field, and a whole lot more. So 662-281-1200. You can click the link right there in my signature on the message board or in that content item and tell them that Rebel Grove has sent you to Nick's Tan. So if you're in the Oxford area, use them for all real estate needs. Again, 662-281-1200. Pete Thamel with 10 names to watch for the thing. Lane Kiffin not on his list at all. He has James Franklin, Bill O'Brien, Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell.
Yeah, Matt Campbell was the other name that I meant to bring up a minute ago.
Mario Cristobal.
Mm-hmm.
PJ Fleck. Yeah. Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Tony Elliott, Clemson OC that's never taken a job.
Okay.
And then he says that because it's college football, never underestimate the allure of hiring a retread. And then he mentions Chris Peterson and Bob Stoops.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, whatever, sure. But point being, no Lane Kiffin.
Stoops doesn't strike me as a guy that wants to get back into it.
I mean,
he seems pretty damn content.
Got a lot of money.
Cool. Oh, apparently he's been brilliant with his money.
Really?
Yeah.
Clay Helton's buyout is $12 million, by the way, for anybody who is who's curious. We talked about LSU gymnast Olivia Dunn back when the NIL stuff was first being announced because of her 5 million followers on Instagram and TikTok, and she has signed her first NIL deal. It is with Vuori Clothing, and it is in the mid-six figures. So
good for her.
Her first deal there. Somewhere.
Congratulations to her.
For LSU gymnast Olivia Dunn. Little update there.
They make fantastic running shorts.
Do they?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
Is it Vuori? Is that the correct pronunciation?
I think so. I think that's how you say it.
That does not shock me that that's her line of what she went with. Let's see. You know, I was looking back at Tulane, Oklahoma a little bit. Tulane played a really inspired game. They had a big comeback. Oklahoma did go to sleep a little bit. They were up like 37-14 or something there at one point.
Yeah.
It I feel like we're putting a little more juice, not us, but I feel like everybody's putting a little more juice on this game than maybe it should have. I mean, Tulane is still coming into the season a mid-level American team.
Yeah.
Great story, obviously, everything they're dealing with. They're having to deal with tons of adversity. But we're overplaying week one a little bit. If this game is close, mid to late fourth quarter, where it's in doubt, that's an Ole Miss problem where they did not play well.
Agreed.
It's not a Tulane jumped up and was playing the role of Cinderella.
So, you just nailed it. Oklahoma blew them out and turned it off.
Mm-hmm. And had a hard time turning it back on.
And to Tulane's everlasting credit,
they kept coming.
On a week where it would have made sense for them to go, this game was supposed to be in New Orleans. We've been in a hotel in Birmingham. We're going back to that hotel. This is miserable. This is not what I signed up for. We quit. They didn't. And they deserve a ton of credit for that. But had Oklahoma kept the foot on the gas, and you watched what happened with Oklahoma last week, because I think they won like 76-0.
That was correct.
Very clearly, Lincoln Riley made that point. Probably
the emphasis was four quarters ago.
In film?
Yeah.
The film after the Oklahoma-Tulane game, second half effort plays, I guarantee you, stuff got thrown. And guys were like, hey, we probably ought to play the whole game this next time. Got to be super careful with week one hot takes. There's a reason that people talk about week one hot takes.
I think Tulane is decent. I think they're a good team. I think Willie Fritz is a hell of a football
coach. He's a great coach, and everybody in coaching has a ton of respect for him.
And Michael Pratt is an incredibly underrated quarterback because he plays for Tulane. Those are truths.
He plays his ass off. He's really competitive, and he's got some arm talent.
And he hasn't turned the ball over all year.
Yeah.
On 76 dropbacks, he has not committed a turnover.
Look, they're going to get some yards. They're going to score some points. I do question their defense's ability to stop Ole Miss. But Kiffin's worried about that offensive line a little bit. He's challenging them. Let's go. Let's get moving. There've been some negative plays, especially on first down, trying to establish a run.
They have not established a great rhythm in the running game on set run plays. I mean, frankly, it's one of the reasons Corral's run so damn much.
Yeah.
It's been a problem. They don't need that. Now, Ely's hardly playing. They've got some things that they can do. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Ely played 14 snaps last week.
He was asked about Ely yesterday, and I thought his answer was, look, we're not showing everybody everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got games coming up. I mean, Ole Miss has games coming up.
They haven't been incredibly creative with Ely yet. He's only had three plays in the slot the entire season. Mostly stayed in the backfield.
Yeah, he doesn't want to show what's his name? Pete. What's the guy at Alabama?
Pete Golding.
Pete Golding and Barry Odom everything right now. Those guys are pretty good defensive coordinators. You'd like to have them guessing a little bit. You'd like to be able to throw the element of surprise at them a little bit. And those games are right around the corner. So, you know, there is a chess match.
I think Tulane ends up being 7-5.
It's kind of what I thought before the season. I think we talked about them being 6-6, 7-5, somewhere in there.
I mean, they're probably a little better than a couple of those.
The good news for them, Chase, is that they found out yesterday that they're going to get to go home after this game.
They are.
They're going to play UAB next week in New Orleans.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, which is good.
Was that game already scheduled for New Orleans?
Yeah,
or did they move it?
But they'd already started talking about playing it at Legion Field. But the power's back, and looks like they're going to be able to kind of get moving.
Even if you had to play it, wouldn't you let it just be a UAB home game? So you play in the nicer place?
I guess, yeah.
I mean, because at the end of the day, what difference does it make whether which stadium you play it in from your home game standpoint?
Right.
I mean, you have no fans there anyway.
But I'm glad that they'll get to play in their home.
They have a neat little field there. They did a good job.
Yeah.
With that place. So anyway, yeah. I don't know. We're talking about Tulane all week, and I'm just kind of like, I mean, I'm watching them, and it's fine, not bad. Now, you're right, though. Fritz is going to scheme up a lot of stuff in the run game that is going to be pretty creative and is going to create some mismatches. I mean, I do think for the first time, because Louisville had no run game other than Malik Cunningham. Their running back sucked. I do think you're going to see a better scheme and run game for an opponent so far this season. Now, look, you got a hell of a step up in 2 weeks. But
yeah.
that three-man front playing run defense, we're going to see a little more about that this week. I think that's at least one of the things to watch is how Ole Miss handles that three-man front and how they play defense against a two-lane run game that can get creative, can scheme up and do some things. So that's interesting. Yeah, Royce Newman was a really good football player.
Yeah.
That went underrated a little bit as his ability.
Yeah.
He's been great in Green Bay, but he had a rough day on Sunday. It was the lights came on and it was a bit of a challenge on Sunday afternoon.
Ain't easy being a rookie in the NFL.
His head was spinning a little bit a couple times there.
The preseason and the real season are not the same season.
They're really not. I mean, it's just not even.
No, defensive coordinators dial stuff up.
Yeah.
In the preseason, vanilla's fine. In the regular season, they start throwing stuff into the ice cream.
I had no idea that Matt Campbell was 0-5 against Iowa. Brian said,
"Well, not everybody beats Iowa."
Okay, but Matt Campbell has been able to stay a prominent name in every coaching search, going 0-5 against Iowa. That's interesting.
It's because he hasn't gone 0-5 against Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, no, sure.
Right, yeah. That's why.
Yeah, but I assume that series was closer than that. And don't know why. Just
look, we are the flagship. We've got that medical school right there. We've got the law school. We got all the money. We're the flagship.
Well, there is a reason you keep that helmet on the third row and that helmet on the fifth row.
Yeah, that helmet on the fifth row is never coming down.
It's all the way up there.
I mean, unless we troll that week.
Put all that stuff in plain sight that yeah. week. I kind of wanted the white helmet. I think it looks better, but we'll take the blue. It's fine. I wasn't overly specific with my ask.
Still stunned that he autographed it.
I kind of am, too. I did not anticipate that. I thought I would just get a blank helmet.
Yeah.
Because he did not ask anything about the John Hancock that was that was on it. So. They were very prompt, though. I mean, that whole thing was like 4 days. I mean, that sumbitch went in the mail.
I'm not surprised. Even a little bit.
I don't know. Just a little delirious today. I don't necessarily know why. I wrote a little bit about this because I think that at some point schemes change against Ole Miss. I think that you can't. Elijah Moore was a special talent. That's not minimizing Drummond, but at the same time, I feel like teams will do a better job of not letting Drummond just free release across the middle of the field all day, like Louisville and Austin Peay have to this point. So they're going to have to get Mike Mingo and Braylon Sanders more involved in this offense.
Well, right now everyone's focused on Sanders, and that's opening it up.
At some point there has to be a course correction.
If you turn the attention to Drummond on the underneath, Braylon's going to be available on top. So far, everyone is playing this,
not letting them go over the top on them.
Well, everyone went. The early opponents watched the film from last year and said, well, who gave him problems? Arkansas gave him problems. What did they do? Well, they played three deep the entire game. They dropped eight. Well,
so
that's
now everybody's playing.
That's what we should do. And now Matt Corral's going, okay, if you do that, I'm just going to pick you apart. And so the course correction's coming where the coordinator goes, yeah, Barry had a pretty good plan that day, but
it's not 2020 anymore.
You know, it doesn't work anymore.
Yeah.
So we got to try something different. And then how
– Yeah.
It's – the hitter pitcher when the rookie hitter comes into the league and he hits 400 for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh my God, this is the next Babe Ruth. And you're like, hold up. They're going to adjust. And when they do, he's got to adjust. And then you'll start to find out.
Yeah.
So Corral has adjusted and now they have to adjust.
Yeah. So it should open up things for Mingo and Sanders and at least make them more viable in this offense at the moment. But
I think Braylon's got a big day coming soon because I question whether. Actually, it will be really interesting. It's two more games. It will be really interesting to see what Barry Odom does this
in
time.
In year two, yeah. When he sees, oh, well, okay.
Well, the chess match, you know, does he go, okay, well, that worked. I'm going to do it again.
Yeah.
Or does he go, he's expecting that. I'm going to throw this at him.
Mm-hmm. Pretty fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, talk a little more about that in a second. First, about G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They're on South Lamar in Oxford. They deliver locally in the Oxford area. And they offer MedSync, food prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. Whether it's one trip to the pharmacy or one delivery, you have what you need when you need it. There are also Tyson Drugs on the square in Holly Springs. So both locations for your community pharmacy needs. Again, 662-236-2222.
We're also brought to you by Pinnacle. They're based in Madison, Mississippi. Clients in more than 20 states, advisors in multiple states as well. They provide detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. We're also brought to you by John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling anytime soon, holidays, next year, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John, give him some parameters, give him a budget. He'll give you options. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. Also brought to you by Service Specialists with offices. In Ridgeland, Canton, Jackson, and Oxford, Service Specialist has been connecting candidates and employers since 1967. It's the oldest staffing company in Mississippi. Whether you're a new college grad or a seasoned professional, whether you're in engineering, dentistry, accounting, law, manufacturing, human resources, or more, you should contact Service Specialist. If you're a recent grad without much experience, you should reach out to Service Specialist. They're always looking for candidates that have potential and want to learn and get their foot in the door with growth opportunities. Mississippi's a small state, and Service Specialist always knows about jobs that never get advertised. So if you're looking to hire quality talent for your company, Service Specialist has names and resumes ready for your perusal. If you're thinking about looking for a new job or you're looking to relocate to Mississippi, but you have confidentiality concerns, get in touch with Service Specialist. There's no referral fees for those searching for a job either. You've got nothing to lose. So call them at 662-832-5138. 662-832-5138 or go to ServiceSpecialistLTD.com. Also brought to you by Alpha Specialties, 1670 Highway 80 in Pearl, Mississippi. They're your trailer-specific professional. If you want to haul it, they can call it at Alpha. They've got Load Trail. They've got Hallmark Cargo Trailers. They also can work with third parties to have game day trailers and concession trailers built just for you. Spare tires and wheels starting at just $100. A full selection of trailer parts and accessories, hitches, winches, straps, and more. 601-932-9798 or check them out at alphaofms.com. I talked to Chance Campbell yesterday, the Ole Miss linebacker, that I think is up on our YouTube stream. If it's not up, it will be up shortly. That was brought to you by The Rogue. Hope that you will look at it on YouTube. Hit the like button. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't done it yet. The Rogue is your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers. Work to lifestyle to nightlife. The perfect something for everyone at The Rogue, 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com.
It is up on our site.
There you go.
On YouTube, yes.
Awesome.
It absolutely is. Yeah, I mean, you can see this this chart in the content item out front or on the message board at rebelgrove.com on all social media. But Matt Corral at this moment for the season. So passes 0 to 10 yards. He has only thrown 9 outside of either hash. He's thrown 20 in the middle of the field from 0 to 10. And then from 11 to 20 yards downfield, he's thrown 14 in the middle of the field and only 5. Outside the hashes combined. I mean, it's been all middle of the field. I mean, so you look at Braylon, who's predominantly an outside receiver, just from a target standpoint, Matt Corral has only thrown 10 passes outside right in these two games. That's it. He has thrown 40 in the middle of the field, not counting behind the line of scrimmage.
And some of that is what they're giving you, and some of that is what you're wanting to put on film.
And Don Terrio's done a hell of a job. I mean,
he's been great.
Yeah, I mean, he's been open. I mean, it's
well, and Matt trusts him because he's got great hands. I mean, you know.
I mean, some of that is, you know, we're, I think, establishing a rhythm with Mingo has been good as Mingo's caught the ball a little better. I mean, it was probably not intentionally or anything personal, but, I mean, he probably didn't trust Jonathan completely. I mean, Jonathan's sure dropped a lot of balls.
Sure.
Hey, if I got two guys open and one is Elijah Moore and one's Mingo, I'm going to throw the ball to Elijah. He's going to catch it.
Yeah.
I mean, just your split second moving in your head up here.
Sure,
kinda,
of course.
It kind of is what it is. So, I mean, but no, I mean, just phenomenal stats. I mean, they use NFL quarterback rating systems on Pro Football Focus. So anything over 100 is good-ish. I mean, I don't. That's not scientific, but anything over 100 is really good. And then perfect is 158.3 for some weird reason, but it is. Matt Corral's middle of the field numbers at the different segments and NFL ratings: 158.3, 134.6, 106.8, 129.2.
So you're telling me he's down playing well.
Saying that he is absolute hell between the hash marks right now. Yes. It also means he has an incredibly strong arm because balls get picked off in the middle of the field a lot.
He can get a ball through a window that a lot of guys can't get
through. Yeah, the windows have been kind of impressive. There have been several times where there was no window. Yeah. Like they would show kind of the all 22 thing a little bit from behind the line of scrimmage, and you go, yeah, there's nothing there.
Tells you how dialed in he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he sees something that no one – the game has really slowed down for him over the course of over the course of the year. So.
Sometimes I feel like I'm crazy when I say this because people will talk about Spencer Rattler and stuff, and I'm like, I'd rather have Corral. I mean, kind of a no-brainer to me. And I don't know whether that's just the bias of seeing that guy all the time. But
right.
You know, the flip side of that is when you see one guy all the time, you see the warts too.
Typically, that is the thing we see.
Yeah.
I don't know. He can't do this.
Yeah.
He can't
do that. That guy can't do this. And then you see him have an NFL career, and you're like, well, son of a.
It's week one. Not going to get into a ton of NFL today because we've had a lot of college topics to talk about, especially after Clay Helton was fired yesterday. But that was a big win for the Raiders last night. They did not play well at all kind of in the first half. They hung around, pulled that one out in overtime, 33-27. I don't really believe in Derek Carr, but if you said they're a wild card team, I'm not blown away.
I thought Carr played well last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think he's winning a Super Bowl.
No. Lamar Jackson might not either.
Oh, fair.
Yeah. He's solid. It's a great stadium.
It's a good
stadium. Holy cow.
And
it makes so much sense. Las Vegas Raiders. You're like, yeah, it kind of works.
You get that, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Oakland made sense.
Yeah.
There's certain towns where it fits.
If you told me they became a premier franchise from a free agency standpoint, I'd buy it completely.
Really?
Yeah, sure.
I do like their black suits. Just the traditional
their
black
uniform.
On silver. And,
well, the white on silver is great.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
– the Raiders are all right.
The NFL gets uniforms down. I mean,
there are very few really bad suits.
There are screw-up suits.
Yeah.
But they don't typically –
And frankly,
have
they kind of get fixed.
Yeah.
You know, you had screw-up suits. Like, you know, when the Broncos there for a while, that was a terrible suit.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers had a bad suit for a while. It's still not good, but they're slowly fixing it. But they're kind of like the Patriots. Just wear the suit we all like. Wear the creamsicle. Oh. And the Patriots put the Minuteman on the damn
Absolutely.
Ground, snapping the ball or whatever.
Bring Steve Grogan back and just call it a day.
Yeah. You would maybe have the best suit in the NFL. Just do it.
It's a fantastic uniform. The Bengals had a good suit the other day. That was a good uniform game. The Bengals went with the all-white.
Yeah.
Minnesota had the purple top.
Yeah.
That was a good uniform game.
The Vikings are not a good football team.
No, but they have great uniforms.
They do.
Their all-white suit with the purple helmet's spectacular.
It's the worst suit in the league.
Jacksonville, typically.
Is it Jacksonville?
Because they screw it up. Although, it looks like they've cleaned it up a little.
I still hate the Seahawks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
L.A. is slowly getting it right again.
Yeah, the Rams look good.
Yeah.
The Chargers have a really good suit.
They do.
Yeah, it's yeah.
It's good.
Theirs is spectacular, actually.
Yeah. There aren't
not a lot of bad. No, the NFL does uniforms well. Like, they have the whole uniform code and stuff that people will criticize. I'm like, no, you're right. Wear it a certain way because it looks right that way.
What'd you say our Monday night game was next week?
Lions.
Packers.
Packers.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ugh. Whatever. Okay.
They'll get to do a quarterback game, though. You have Aaron Rodgers. The old Jared Goff
and
thing.
Jared Goff.
Goff played okay in the opener for Detroit.
He threw a pick six.
He may have.
Yeah. They lost, right?
It was pretty good in their comeback.
Okay. They lost?
Yeah, they lost.
I mean, they're bad.
Yeah. Buffalo lost their opener to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh played really good defensively.
Yeah.
Maybe we're week one. Shut up. Wait 4 weeks. See what it looks like.
Oh yeah,
that's the rule. Let a quarter of the season go, and then we'll go.
Those AFC teams. I mean, Kansas City, Cleveland. You saw those two teams. If you're an AFC team, you like the bar.
I thought that game was huge for Cleveland. They look no, we're real. This is legitimate.
The bar is high. They could have easily pulled it off.
Yeah. So. Yeah, the Saints need to ditch black pants, and I don't like their goal top. Just be very just black on gold.
White on white
or white on gold. I'm good.
Yeah.
White on gold's good.
The gold pants are great.
Yeah. Just
the
do
black
that.
On gold should be the home suit every time.
Sean Payton loves him some black on black though.
I know, and I don't like it at all.
It's like his big game suit. It's like, yeah.
No, yeah.
We're not going to war.
I like the black on gold. I like the white. Their white on white is fantastic with the kind of the gold helmet.
Their Color Rush whites, yeah.
Yeah. I watch those and I'm like,
Alvin Kamara in that suit is
great.
Is really good. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't mind the white on the gold. Prefer the white on the white.
And Daniel says might as well get used to watching Detroit since they're going to draft Corral.
Well, that would make sense.
Yeah, no, it's in that realm. So anyway. All right. Another podcast tomorrow. We'll bring some stuff to you. I don't know what we'll talk about, but we have a day to figure it out. So we'll have are you running the interview tomorrow? What are we doing?
I don't know what we'll do. Yeah, okay. I could. We've got, don't forget, go to rebelgrove.com.
Chance Campbell.
Chance Campbell's there. Chase's 321 is there. Got a lot of content from yesterday. Feels like the week comes fast. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of stuff that's there. Zach had a recruiting reaction piece that's at rebelgrove.com. It's the price of,
less than a lunch at most places.
Less than lunch at almost every place except the Oxford Exxon.
Yes, that is correct. You get almost two Oxford Exxons for that price, but
one and a half.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. If you skip the drink, maybe you can get two meals. So.
That's true.
And it's a 32-ounce drink, so it should tide you over for a minute.
And if it doesn't, it should.
That's a lot of soda.
You need to revisit your soda consumption.
Yeah. So, plenty at Rebel Grove. We'll be back with you again in the morning. So have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again very soon.